You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Roughly a third of Californians are on Medi-Cal, which is the public health insurance for low-income residents and people with disabilities. The program has grown considerably in recent years, but reimbursements to doctors and other providers has not kept pace with this expansion, leading to some opting out of serving Medi-Cal patients. Voters overwhelmingly approved one solution in the November election. Prop 35 promised to give a long-awaited pay bump to doctors and hospitals who serve the state's lowest income residents via a tax that already exists on health care plans. But 4 months in, state regulators have yet to direct a dollar for the initiative's intended purposes or even develop a framework for doing so. Rachel Bluth is the California healthcare reporter for Politico and joins us now with her reporting on the delay. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. Well, let's just start from the beginning. What led Prop 35 to get on the ballot in the first place?
Yeah, so these kinds of health insurance taxes called a managed care organization tax or an MCO tax have been around for a really long time. California has authorized several of them. They expire over the years. And typically this money is then, you know, collected from the tax, used to draw in extra federal dollars, and then essentially just absorbed into the budget. The governor at the time, whoever it is, has usually just kind of swept it up into the general fund to support whatever their goals are. So this time around, our tax was expiring, and a whole bunch of healthcare interests got together and said, we want to renew this tax, and we want to make sure that the money stays exactly where we want it, in Medi-Cal, and not getting swept into the general fund. So they got together, we're talking Planned Parenthood, California Medical Association, representatives from hospitals and labor and clinics, all getting together and, you know, pushing for this initiative to, you know, get this on the ballot and lock that money away so that when the revenue comes in, it has to be used to fund some of these raises in Medi-Cal, and it can't just be swept into the budget by the governor or the legislature.
Yeah, and used for something other than healthcare, potentially, depending on what the priorities are. Okay, so this is like a good opportunity to just kind of get into how does Medi-Cal work and what was happening within Medi-Cal that led these backers to put Prop 35 in on the ballot?
Yeah, you know, Medi-Cal, as your listeners probably know, is California's Medicaid program, and we essentially split funding between the state and the federal government. Every dollar, roughly, that the state spends, the federal government will also spend a dollar and match those funds. So this tax, essentially, which no one really pays. It's called a tax, but it is collected from managed care organizations, which are the Medi-Cal health insurers, and used basically just to get those matching funds from the federal government. So all that money just ends up going right back to the plans, going to the doctors, going to the hospitals. So the rates that the state pays to doctors, hospitals, clinics, ambulances, to see Medi-Cal patients has stayed really stagnant for decades. And it's leading doctors and hospitals to kind of lose money on Medi-Cal patients. And so the safety net has been worn pretty bare. And though 15 million people are on Medi-Cal and technically have access to health care, if no one is accepting their insurance, if hospitals are too full of patients, then that's not really good for anyone. So that's why these interests kind of got together to take a whole look at the safety net generally, find where these holes were and try to patch them up with this money.
Hmm. You mentioned that this is a tax that nobody pays, but since it's a tax on health insurers, could they then offset those costs onto rates that people pay?
They could, I guess, but they don't. Hmm. This is, you know, you would think, oh, it's a tax on health insurance plans. They probably hate this. They don't. They love this. It is kind of free money. It's just a way to bring extra federal dollars into the state. And it's really worth noting, the federal government doesn't love this. They don't love when we do this. California is not the only state. It's like over a dozen others have sort of similar tax schemes like this, where we basically just collect money from ourselves to get more from the feds. the Biden administration didn't love the way we do this. The Trump administration doesn't love the way we do this. And the federal Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, who are in charge of approving these taxes, has been indicating for years that they're going to change the way they approve these taxes in the future.
Okay, so how much money are we talking about?
Over the course of the whole tax, which is authorized for several years, we're talking like $40 billion all told top line. And that's the state half and the federal half. Not all of that money is available for the state to spend every year, but it's still a big chunk of change for a safety net that really is hurting for the money right now.
Yeah. So when it comes to how that money is spent, is it solely for reimbursements to providers and hospitals? Is there some designations on how this money will be prioritized within Medi-Cal?
Yeah. This ballot initiative, Prop 35, was very prescriptive. It said, you know, $90 million for reproductive health care, this many million dollars for ambulances, for emergency services, for behavioral health. It really laid out very specific buckets. But the actual nitty-gritty details of who gets that money and when and exactly how, that has to be worked out with sort of this separate advisory committee. And that's a whole separate issue that we can get into. But that committee hasn't started meeting yet. And so a lot of the, you know, nitty-gritty details of implementation have not been worked out yet.
Okay. So we're 4 months in to, you know, since the November election. Why hasn't action been taken yet? I mean, you mentioned that advisory committee hasn't even launched.
Yeah, that 10-person committee, which there are 9 appointees so far for it, their first meeting is April 14th. And as for the why, that's an excellent question. We don't really know. The administration is maybe dragging its feet a little bit. It's hard to find the exact right people to fill this advisory committee. It was really specific of, you know, I think the last one that they need to fill is a private ambulance, ground ambulance provider that serves more than 500,000 transports a year in California. It's very specific. So these things do take time. But we're already leaving money on the table. Some of these augmentations to the rate reimbursement were planned even before Prop 35 really took effect or was voted on. And the state had to submit its plans for those by yesterday. And we found out this morning, CalMatters reported that they've already blown that deadline. So for the first quarter of the year, we're leaving like millions of dollars on the table that was supposed to go to these doctors, to other healthcare providers, and we're losing out on those federal matching funds as well.
Okay. So is that money just like going into a trash can? Can that funding be retroactive once this committee is launched and once things are laid out, or do we even know?
That's an excellent question, and I really don't know. I mean, the money's being collected. It's, I think, just going to the general fund, but the way that Medicaid financing works, the timeline is always kind of wonky. There's 3-year lookbacks. There's prospective financing. The timeline is always a little confusing. So I don't really know what happens to this money later. I think eventually it probably will get to the people it's supposed to get to. But the clock is ticking and they need that money yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, if you mentioned that funding, the one that's left on the table, is essentially going back into the general fund, isn't that just kind of going back to the original place that this tax went to?
Yeah, you know, that's, you're kind of pointing out some of the wisdom and the perils of this ballot box budgeting. And, you know, Governor Newsom spoke out against this from day one. Governors, generally speaking, don't like the voters telling them how to make a budget. So this is some of the problem that you run into, is that it's a little bit inflexible and it takes some time and you can't just go through the regular budget process. But at the same time, it really shows the wisdom of that this coalition put together. Medi-Cal has a budget shortfall right now, and it's bringing a lot of political heat on the program and on the governor. So this is also sort of pursuing their ends, which is not letting Governor Newsom just kind of sweep all this money back for his own goals. But it's really that double-edged sword. You've locked it away, but maybe a little bit too tightly.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Politico reporter Rachel Bluth about delays in rolling out Prop 35, which was overwhelmingly passed by voters last year as a funding mechanism for Medi-Cal, the public insurance for about a third of residents in the state. So you mentioned that Medi-Cal is currently facing a multi-billion dollar budget gap. In the last decade, it has expanded considerably. Residents, regardless of citizenship, can apply for Medi-Cal. Also, other benefits like dental insurance, even having a doula, is now included in Medi-Cal. Why is there such a big funding gap?
A lot of people are trying to answer that question, and there's a couple different answers. Part of it is, hey, healthcare costs are rising across the board. Probably everybody listening to this knows that. The cost of prescription drugs is rising, and that's really draining kind of our Medi-Cal budget for the state. There's more people on Medi-Cal since the pandemic, and they're older, so they're more expensive to insure. But a really big part of this shortfall right now is because of our undocumented coverage program. The people who are coming onto Medi-Cal now, who are newly eligible, are maybe a little bit more expensive to insure and provide care for than Governor Newsom originally budgeted. And that gap that we're looking at, especially for next year, for like the 25-26 budget, is roughly the size of the cost overruns for the undocumented insurance program. So there's a lot of political heat on it right now, especially from Republicans in the legislature who are saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't be providing care to this population. Maybe we should be doing some cost containment or rolling back benefits. A lot of options on the table, but it's meaning a lot of extra scrutiny on Medi-Cal.
Do you think rolling back benefits is being entertained by the Newsom administration or Democratic lawmakers?
Not really. I think, you know, this was a top priority of Governor Newsom. He didn't start this Medi-Cal expansion. It started in a limited way under Governor Brown, but he has really run with it and expanded it again and again to different sort of age segments of this population. And even when we were facing a budget deficit, even when, you know, the budget was really tight, he was saying, this is a huge priority for me and I'm going to fund it. So I do think originally he had earmarked some of this MCO tax money to fund that program, and that got changed under Prop 35. But I am not hearing seriously from Democrats that they are going to end this or really roll it back. I think there's probably some stuff they can do around the edges, some things to contain costs across the board. So keep your eye on that throughout the budget season.
Okay, so what actions is the governor and lawmakers considering to fill this budget gap?
Well, they're talking about there was already like a $3.4 billion loan from another part of the budget just to cover Medi-Cal's costs in March. So, and there might need to be some sort of extra appropriation for this year. When we're looking ahead for next year, $3 billion, an extra appropriation of a couple billion dollars to add to the Medi-Cal program. And while Prop 35 didn't necessarily cause this budget hole, the Newsom administration is certainly pointing out the fact that because of Prop 35, there is a little bit less money to play with to fill that hole. So this is all just kind of swirling around, and you're hearing so much frustration from the healthcare industry, from the coalition that got this on the ballot and got it passed. They're super frustrated that it hasn't been implemented yet, and doctors and hospitals are still not getting their raises, and Prop 35 is also kind of being blamed a little bit for the budget hole, which, you know, isn't necessarily true.
Given that Medicaid also largely is shouldered and relies on federal funding, there are some concerns with the new Trump administration that there could be cuts to Medicare and Medi-Cal, something that the administration has denied. I looked at like a fact check on whitehouse.gov from earlier this month saying that they're not going to make those cuts to benefits, but there still are concerns that it could happen. How does that uncertainty with funding to Medicaid, which is Medi-Cal, complicate and compound these challenges that you just laid out.
It is a wild time in Medi-Cal funding right now. You know, just at the federal level, we are seeing billions of dollars of cuts to public health, billions of dollars of cuts to academic research. You know, thousands of HHS employees woke up to getting fired this morning in DC. So the funding is so uncertain. And we're talking about billions, if not hundreds of billions of dollars nationally that are kind of in jeopardy here. So in some ways, this few billion a year from the MCO tax, from Prop 35, might not seem like a lot, but the whole point was to provide some stability and to provide some extra funding when everything else is so crazy in the state and the national budget.
Given that bureaucracy can be slow and we don't even have a committee yet for this funding from Prop 35, there's also an expiration date for this tax, right? Isn't it 2027? That's not really that far away. That'll be here before we know it. So is there the possibility that what voters approved on, it won't actually be implemented? And by the time that there's an infrastructure in place to allocate this funding, the expiration date has already passed us by?
Hopefully it doesn't take quite that long for this committee, which will start meeting soon. Hopefully it doesn't take that long for them to get their recommendations to the state and the state to sort of get them approved however they have to and implement them. But it is going to take a long time. Hopefully not till 2027. But, you know, people on the inside, people who know, tell me it could still be a year. It could be a really long time. And again, in the meantime, who knows what happens in D.C.? Who knows what happens with our Medi-Cal budget? And people need to be seeing doctors. So there's a huge time crunch here. Even if the tax weren't expiring, which it is, and we're not getting the same deal again, even if none of that were the case, like, this money is urgently needed.
Rachel, thank you for your reporting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I think people, myself included, we vote on propositions and then months go by and the news cycle is so relentless. It's important to stay on top of them for accountability and for a refresher.
Well, I'm happy to talk about Medi-Cal literally anytime.
Great. We'll have you back. Rachel Bluth is Politico's California healthcare reporter, and we've been talking about delays in rolling out Prop 35, which was overwhelmingly passed by voters last year as a funding mechanism for Medi-Cal, the public insurance for about a third of residents in the state. Still ahead, it is the first of the month. It is not April Fool's. It does mean that Arts Talk is back on Insight. We're going to hook you up with the events that are taking place throughout April and learn about Sacramento newest music venue, Channel 24. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.